Welcome to Rock Melbourne, Church on the Rock. We like our nickname, Rock Melbourne, because, you know, it's metaphorical. We're glad that you are with us. It is what we call Women's Sunday, which just means that we're going to hear from a couple of women in the pulpit this morning. Just give them a chance to speak to us. We have some really godly, godly women in this congregation. But I also want to mention our godly, godly men. And we just appreciate all the godly men in this congregation. We applaud you. I was sitting in the back and I was writing introductions for these two women, what I wanted to say about them, and it's going to make me cry. So if you ever want to know how you really feel about somebody, start writing an introduction. It's a really great exercise. So I first met Laura in the back of a truck in Guatemala. She was 14. We were on a mission trip. And so she ended up growing up in our youth church, and I just fell in love with her, and the Lord knitted our hearts in a very unique way. She went to our Guatemala mission trips, our Poughkeepsie mission trips. She was a member of our rockin' youth band of the 90s. She led worship. She's grown up as a worship leader and a musician here, and she went out to IHOP in Kansas City for an internship, found Jeremiah, and brought him back to us. We appreciate that. She has spent time and lived in Israel and lived in various parts of Florida. And she is a worshiper, and she is a woman after God's own heart. When she's not doing that, she's a mom of 8 plus. And she is a beautiful wife and friend. She has a prophetic voice, and she is going to bless us today. I'm very proud to be her spiritual mom, so please welcome Laura Ganda. I already prayed for you, but I'll pray for you again real quick. Lord, we thank you for your peace. Thank you for this beautiful word that she's going to share with us. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You're welcome. Well, I'm glad Rachel gave the disclaimer, because I don't think I've spoken in front of a group probably in 16 or 17 years. So, Rachel already told quite a bit about our family. I don't think she mentioned that Jeremiah's a teacher, and he teaches over in Winter Haven. We live in Haines City, which is like an hour and a half from here. But we feel connected here. We feel that God was stirring our hearts to come back to our roots, to reconnect, and that it's going to lead unto something. It's unto something. So I'm going to pray real quick. Father, we love you so much. I ask that your presence would flood this place, Lord. I ask for your anointing, God, and ask that you would just meet each individual in this room today, God, in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so a few weeks ago, Tony and Rachel shared some of the prophetic history that God was doing in their own lives, relating to this church, relating to the city. They shared a lot of amazing prophetic words and dreams that many leaders have had concerning Melbourne and what God wants to do here. And at the end, Rachel encouraged us to pull out our own prophetic dreams and our own prophetic words so that we could contend for breakthrough in our own lives. And in doing this, we begin to see a bigger picture of what God wants to do. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We know that we're living in the last days. We know that God is going to pour out his spirit. And as these times approach, it is so important that we take time to encourage one another and to build each other up, especially with the things that we feel that God is going to do. Amen. So when Rachel asked me to speak, I decided to share my prophetic history that the Lord has been highlighting, but specifically in this past year. Some really awesome things have been happening. I'm going to start with last December. I had the amazing opportunity to go to One Thing in Kansas City and with IHOP. And this was an incredible conference. The Lord did incredible things. And one of the things he did with me personally was he gave me a word in which he reiterated to me, revival is coming to Melbourne, and I'm sending your family back to be a part of it. And he also told me, your wilderness season is over. It's time for a new season. So I was super excited. I came home, I told Jeremiah what God had said, and he eventually felt a witness to this. So, after he was fully on board, we began to focus our morning prayer times, seeking the Lord about this and praying for breakthrough in this area. So fast forward a couple months, the beginning of April, something really unique began to happen. A dream I had had 12 years ago began to unfold in some really incredible ways. So before I share that dream, I just want you to understand that God has been speaking to me through dreams since I was a little girl. I have literally stacks of journals full of them. And for example, I'll give you one example. Before Judah was born, Judah's my sixth child. It was 3 weeks before his due date. And the night before he was born, I had a terrifying dream. This snake kept trying to curl up and wrap itself on my belly. And I was trying to get it away from me. It was one of those dreams you wake up and, oh, I'm so glad that was just a dream. Glad that's over. Well, I got out of bed. My water broke. This has never happened to me with any of the five previous children. I thought, that is really weird. And I called Jeremiah and said, well, we're having a baby today. Rachel came over and watched the kids. And my dad was sick that day, unfortunately. So I called her, everyone got everything ready, and went over to the birth center, and later that afternoon, Judah was born. Well, when he was born, the umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck 3 times, but because he was so little and so tiny, it did not affect him at all. And the Lord spoke to me, I gave you that dream to show you what the plan of the enemy was, but I wanted you to know I took care of it, and you didn't have to worry about it. So, yeah, it was awesome. Another example is the amount of children we have. You know, we have a gigantic family. When we only had 2 boys, we had Ezra and Avner. Again, Lord spoke to me in a dream. He showed me a house full of children. He had a big smile on his face. And I knew that he was saying, would you like this blessing that I have for you? And of course, obviously, we said yes. Also in that dream, the house that I saw was the current house that we're living in now. I saw several details that we knew when we moved to Haines City. Oh, that's the house in my dream. I know that's where we're supposed to be. So back to this dream I had 12 years ago. In this particular dream, I had it when Jeremiah and I were missionaries to Israel. And we were going door to door. In the dream, we're going door to door, and we're telling people about our ministry. We knock on one particular door, and an older man lived there. And rather than listen to our story, he grabbed us and threw us in his basement. Then he took Jeremiah and took him across the street and gave him yard work to do. So I'm stuck in this basement, and I'm looking out of the little windows that are on the top. I could see out in the street. I could see Jeremiah working. And I'm wondering, what am I going to do? I'm trapped in here. Well, I look down the street, and I see an old friend of mine walking down the road, and her name is Ronnie. And I motioned for her to come over, and I said, Ronnie, can you go distract this old man? He has us trapped in the basement. So she goes over, and she starts having a conversation with him. And while he's distracted, Jeremiah comes across the street and pulls me out of the window, and we begin running down the street as fast as we can. So all of a sudden, I feel something heavy on my shoulder while we're running, and I stop. We both stop. And I put my hand back, and I reach for what's on my shoulder, and it's a white glove, but it's like a hand is in it. And I'm like, what in the world is this? And I looked at Jeremiah and I said, do you see this? And he said, yeah, I see it. And then it disappeared. Well, the next thing we do is the two of us walk back to the house that we had been kidnapped in, and Tony and Rachel are there. And in this next part, I feel something uncomfortable happening in my mouth, and I walk into the bathroom, and I realize that I had braces and that they were falling off, and it was very uncomfortable. And I come out into the living room, and I tell them, I need to call my dad, and Tony and Rachel start praying for me, and Rachel starts singing in the spirit in intercession, and then that's the end of the dream. Well, it was 12 years ago. I put it in the journal and kind of forgot about it. So on April 2nd of this year, I receive a voicemail, and it's from my friend Ronnie. I had not seen her or spoken to her in that entire 12 years, just kind of lost touch with her. And she left a voicemail on my phone and said, Laura, your dad told me that you would like a hedge in your backyard, and I have some plants for you if you want to come over and get them. So I hung up, or ended the voicemail, and I thought to myself, this is really interesting. I need to pull that dream out. I remember that she was in some dream I had. So I read through the dream, and I felt like the Lord was saying, Ronnie is a marker for you. Again, your wilderness season is over. It's time to get out of the basement. I have more for you now. And again, excitement began to build. Okay, God, I see that you're doing something. Well, summer came, and Jeremiah felt that we were to come here and connect with Church on the Rock. So we started coming here, and it's been a huge blessing. Our family, with all of our youth, added to this convergence of youth that God's been doing in the past couple years. You know, the church went from 0 to 20 in a relatively short time. So I think we're about nearly half of that 20. But anyways, so we felt the spiritual bond, and it was a spiritual family that we have not felt in many years. You know, in that dream, Jeremiah just doing the yard work and being in the basement, it's really where God's had us. He took us out of ministry and he sent us into the workforce. It was not where our hearts were, but it was a season of training and learning that we had to go through. So we continued to pray all summer, Lord, transition us. And on the morning of July 11th, we prayed again, Lord, open the door to bring us back to Melbourne. And I wrote down in my journal during that prayer time, God, let your promise manifest. So suddenly, at the end of that prayer time, Jeremiah heard in his spirit, buy a shipping company, Chattanooga, Tennessee. And we look at each other like, did I just hear that right? I'm like, what on earth is that? So I said, well, let's Google it. So he puts in the search engine, let me get this right. Hold on one second. Shipping company for sale, Chattanooga, Tennessee. The first search hit that came up said this, white glove for less, shipping and logistics company. So I about fall out of my chair. Like, what? What is this? This is the white glove that landed on my shoulder. I knew it. I knew it at that moment. Had no idea what this company was about, but I knew this was it. And we looked up the company. Their branding graphic is literally a big white glove. Looks like there's a hand in it. So I contacted the company and I found out what it was. So what it is basically, it's an opportunity to invest in a license in a specific area. And you get commissions on all furniture deliveries that are made within your area. So I figured the Lord must want me to purchase one of these licenses. Okay, now these are high investment licenses. Way beyond our means. So I thought, okay, maybe I need to get a business loan. So I spent a couple days, you know, trying really hard to apply for these business loans. I thought maybe God will give me favor with this. But you can imagine being a homeschooling mom and out of the workforce for 16 years, I'm not going to get a business loan. So I'm hitting all of these closed doors. And so Jeremiah and I were like, well, what do we do with this? You know, I didn't feel released from it. Well, the associate that I had first talked to in the company had told me what a great guy their founder was, Larry. And after I hit all these closed doors, I felt like the Lord told me something very scary. I felt like he told me, I want you to call Larry and tell him your dream. I was like, Lord, I'm not going to call a wealthy businessman who's been in the industry for 30 years and tell him that I had a dream about a white glove. I can't do that. But then the Lord reminded me of another dream. There's a lot of dreams intertwined in here, but he reminded me the same year I had that white glove dream. I'm not going to go into the full dream, but basically involved a furniture truck, an attack of the enemy, and a guy named Larry that came to my rescue. And I was like, oh no, I had that other dream. All right, God, I know I have to do this. So I found the courage to make the call, and I told Larry that I was extremely interested in his company, but I was hitting closed doors financially in order to make this investment. So, and then I said, you know, I also feel a deeper connection to your company because of a dream I had a long time ago. And I just told him very short version. I said, you know, a white glove basically fell out of the sky and landed on my shoulder. And I knew when I found your company that this was it. So I kind of waited for his reaction, and he was actually blown away. And he said, "You know, I know there's a spiritual world, and I'm just starting to learn more about it." He said, "I want to connect you with some people in my company, and I want to know, can you make it out to our convention in 2 weeks in Las Vegas?" So I said, "Yes, I will be there." So I flew out to Las Vegas, met the leadership team, and found out more about the company. I had a lot of favor getting to the hotel. I had a free upgrade to the Executive King Suite. It's like, wow, God, you're amazing. So, you know, got to know everybody, and I was able to work out a plan with the leadership team that I would do marketing for the company, and the commissions that I would make in marketing would go towards my investment in this license. So I was excited about it. The last night of the convention, we had a meeting at Larry's house, and he was getting to know everybody, and then we had to, you know, take some Uber rides to get back to our hotel. Well, the Uber that I ended up in had several other conference attendees and had one of the leaders from White Glove. So one of the leaders on the team turned to me and said, "So Laura, how did you hear about White Glove?" I was like, oh boy, here it goes again. So I tell them, okay, I'm going to give you a warning. My connection to this company is spiritual. And they're all like, ooh, tell us, tell us. So I got a chance to tell them the dream again. One of the gentlemen in the car, his name was Mark. After I told him the story, he said, "Oh my goodness, you must have so much confidence that you are doing the right thing." I said, "Absolutely, absolutely, I do." And the other person in the car said, "This is the story that I am taking home with me from this convention. That is absolutely incredible." Amen. So we get back to the hotel, and that one gentleman, Mark, he and I sat down with a few others to talk about marketing and what that would look like once we got back from the conference. And I flew home the next morning. Immediately got to work, started, you know, working on these placing ads and whatnot. So a couple days later, my phone rings, and I see it's Larry, the founder of the company. And my heart kind of went a little crazy. And I picked up the phone. I said, "Hello." And Larry said, "Laura, this is Larry. And I need to know, do you believe in miracles?" And I said, "Well, absolutely I do." He said, "Well, I do too." He said, "The gentleman you had the meeting with the other night, Mark, heard your dream, and he was so impacted by it that he wants to invest in you. And he wants to give you the loan that you need to buy your business license." Yeah. So, super ecstatic about what God was doing. Well, a month went by. I was continuing to do ads. It takes a long time to finalize these contracts, to work out all the details. I was just waiting patiently. 6 weeks went by, still waiting. So 2 weeks ago, I received another call from Larry, and he said, "Laura, we hired a new CEO. He's going to take our company from good to great, but it means a complete restructure of all of our business licenses. So your license with Mark is gone. It's null and void." So at first my heart sank. I thought, oh Lord, this is so disappointing. But then he said to me, "But we believe in you and appreciate the work that you have put into the company, and you are going to be the first new area licensee on the team with no investment required." So that's where we are now. I don't know what it looks like because everything is changing. There's another convention coming this coming Thursday in Charlotte that I'll be attending and finding out, okay, what does this actually look like? So we're just following this crazy adventure with this company, not sure where it will lead, but I do believe that it's absolutely key in what God wants to do to bring us back here to Melbourne. So back to the dream, one more time. The last couple elements in that dream brings me to this exact moment. My braces falling off, Rachel asking me to speak. The Lord wants me to share this with you today. Calling my dad. My dad's in the room today, in the living room with Tony and Rachel. It's like, this is the culmination, and now I'm so excited to see, okay, God, where is this going to lead? What's going to happen next? So I believe the Lord wanted me to share this particular story with you so you could partner your faith with mine and my family's, and I'm asking you to contend for our breakthrough. So Rachel passed the prophetic baton to me, and I'm passing it on to you guys who have been hearing from the Lord and have felt him stirring your hearts for what he's going to do in your life, in this church, in this city. And if you don't feel like you're hearing from God, just ask. So many times I've asked the Lord, Lord, speak to me tonight. Give me a dream. And he gives me a dream. Write it down. Jeremiah and I have been doing an exercise this past year where we just open up our prayer journals and say, Lord, what do you want to tell us today? And we just listen and we just start writing. What is God speaking? And when you start doing this, you have a point that you can look back on and see, okay, God told me this, I saw it happen, and it begins to build your faith that he is speaking to you, and he wants to speak to everyone, for sure. And I thought maybe we could create an opportunity, an evening where we could come together and start sharing our testimonies. Where is God bringing breakthrough in our lives? How does it relate to what God wants to do here? So I'm going to end with a verse and with one of my favorite quotes. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And one of my favorite quotes from Sean Bowles, he said, what are you called to bring breakthrough for? Because your breakthrough will cause all of us to advance. Thank you.
Hey. Just like Aaron, I'm not a lady either. But there's one more interpretive element to that that I want to bring, which is, I think, the part for the church. She was imprisoned in the house by the old man, right? And we all know all the scripture references about the old man passing away and all that. Here's what I felt like while she was sharing it, that the old man represented not just her old man or her old nature. For all of us, it represented doing things by our own effort, by the flesh. It represented our old man. What's remarkable about her story is how supernatural it is, right? Now, if you had been doing what she was doing with the shipping company, in the natural, you'd be going to a bank. You'd be getting that's the imprisonment of the old man. The reason I want to highlight that is because it's a significant part for us, because that's a prophetic message for all of us. Romans 8 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Now, don't imitate Lori. I never get dreams. I sleep really well, and I wake up, and like 9 times out of 10, you can ask me, what did you dream? And I go, I have no idea. But I am led by the Spirit of God in different ways. I've learned, Job says, God speaks in many ways, yet man does not perceive it. So you have to find the way God's speaking to you. But the message here is, God's trying to lead us into supernatural, being led by the Spirit of God. And don't, the glaring message for me from that word is, don't be imprisoned by the old man. There's some risk. You end up in a cab, in an Uber, saying weird things to people and not knowing how they're going to react. But it's the supernatural life. So that's the message, I think, as well. Does that make sense? Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt too much. But there we go.
Do you want to just read that real quick?
In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, at the beginning of the tabernacle, Solomon gives his offering, and it says, that night, and then I believe this is a word for us from what Tony has said, what this testimony, and the Lord has given us this word, that night God appeared to Solomon and said, and this is a word for us, what do you want? And I will give it to ask, and I will give it to you. That's what the Lord is saying to us today. What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen, you guys. We have not because we ask not. We have not often because we ask amiss. So we need to walk with him and ask. And I love, I just feel like my heart is so unlocked. And this is what happens with a prophetic testimony or with the testimony of the Lord. Our hearts begin to be unlocked. And as Laura was saying, God showed her a room full of children. Tony and I don't have children, but you guys are our children. And this house is our family. You are a family. We're a family here. And I believe that when she spoke into it the fact that we are a family and that God is doing something in the body of Christ related to family. And we need you. We need each other. And because there's those of us without children and those of us who have a lot who need our support, who need our help. They, you know, the community aspect of raising our children in the Lord. And so, gosh, it just really, whenever we hear what the Lord is doing, it unlocks our hearts to believe for ourselves. Believe for yourself what God is doing in your life. And if you don't know, ask. Ask. And I've been listening to some testimonies from Graham Cook, and he does exactly what she was saying. He gets with the Lord, and he just starts writing. And he works with the Lord, he says, and to write a message to you and to his own heart. And that feels so kind of like, ooh, that's not right. Are we writing scripture? No, we're writing what the Spirit is saying to us. We have the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead living in us. So if you don't know, just start there. Because in your own private time, go, okay, God, what are you saying? And you just start writing. And you'll look back and go, that wasn't God. And you'll look back at something else and go, wow. Wow. I'm just so stirred for that. I think this is perfect segue for our friend Denise, our woman of God, Denise. So I've known Denise since Amanda, who's now a mom of five. Where are you, Amanda? Raise your hand. She was this little beautiful, curly, blue-eyed girl who came to my first grade Sunday school class before I was married to Tony, so that was a long time ago. And I have always admired Denise because she is just a solid, solid woman of God. Solid, solid woman of God. This is, she does not flashy, just doesn't care to be up here behind the podium, but God, she's deep, deep, deep well. She's a fighter, she's a prayer warrior, she's a worshiper, she's a lover of truth and the word. She is an example of a godly woman. So for you younger women, if you want to go, how do I do this thing? Just watch her. She loves her husband and her children. She serves them as well as this extended family and her extended family. I love the friendship that she has with her brother, Dean, and her sister-in-law, Connie. That's so cool. She is a prophetic voice to us as well. So when being up here, like I said, is not her first choice, but she is being obedient, and I can't wait to hear what else that God is going to unlock in our hearts today through her prophetic message and through the voice that she's bringing. So Denise, come on up and share with us. I'll pray for her too. Lord, we just ask you, we pray Acts 4:29, that you would give her all confidence as she speaks the things that you have put on her heart. And we just ask for our hearts to be open to what the Holy Spirit would say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Okay, good morning. I'll just pray real quick. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, and I pray that you give me the words to speak, Lord. Let my words be your words, Lord. And open people's hearts to receive what you have for them today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I love how God encourages us in unexpected ways. When Rachel asked me to share for this Sunday, my first inclination was like, no. I could think of many reasons why I couldn't do it, but I knew I had to pray about it first. So I was like, okay, God, you know, am I supposed to do this or not? And instead of no, he told me yes. So I began to try to figure out what I was going to share, and I felt drawn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. What I didn't know was that Pastor Tony was going to be referring to 1 Corinthians 3:11 last week. And so this both encouraged me and challenged me because I thought, well, you know, this God cares and I am supposed to do this, so. And just as Tony and Rachel shared about prophetic words that have been given to them personally and words to Church on the Rock over many years that we're still believing for and praying into, I think many of us have personal words that we need to keep praying into and believing for as well. And today I'm going to tell you about one such word in my life. Many years ago, John and I and our children were attending a Morningstar conference in North Carolina. And while we attended the various meetings, our kids, of course, went to the children's church. Well, one day, our daughter Amanda, who was 10 or 11 at the time, said she didn't want to go to the children's ministry. And so we told her, okay, you can stay in the service with us. So I was a little bit frustrated with her because I thought, you know, she would get maybe more out of what was happening back there. But as I was sitting there praying about it and talking to God about it, I felt like God told me that Amanda was going to go through some challenging times in her life and that there would be agitation and irritation and some rough times. But ultimately, it was because he was going to make her into a pearl. It was part of his process of making her into a pearl. And I wasn't really thrilled with the idea when he told me this, because I was like, oh, great, you know. But I thought, oh, well, God, I know you know best, so I guess I'm along for the ride. And what does this mean for me? And so then the thought occurred to me, which I had to laugh. It was like, well, that makes you the mother of pearl. And I was like, okay. So at the time, I felt like it was both a warning and an encouragement. It was something that I would think about and pray about many times over the coming years. And I'm going to tell you more about what happened at the end. Anyway, I was the type of person who liked to plan things out and figured I knew just how life would go. And everything would go just great. We raised our children in the church, and we homeschooled them, and we truly did the best we could. Life wasn't always easy. We weren't perfect. We had struggles, but all in all, it was pretty good. When our kids became adults, life got a little more complicated. We soon discovered that they would make decisions that we were not the decisions that we would make for them. In fact, the faith that I was so certain was part of them seemed at times nowhere to be found. I began to feel like a failure as a mom, and I became disappointed, discouraged, and filled with sadness. I began to listen to the voice of the enemy telling me I was not good enough, that I had nothing to offer to anybody, and who did I think I was praying for other people, and that I should just disqualify myself from any ministry because my life was not in order according to my expectations. So I'm not a very outgoing person to begin with, and the things I was going through caused me to desire interaction even less. I never gave up on God, though, and my life became filled with prayers saying, I don't understand, but I trust you. I had walked with God long enough in my life to know that he was faithful and that even though I felt confused sometimes, I knew that the shame and sense of failure I felt was not from him. Amen. This was not a quick process for me. I knew that trusting him was my only option, but being willing to get outside of myself was a real struggle, and it took me probably way more time than it should have. I had to come to the realization that God knew all of my imperfections and struggles and weaknesses, and our children's as well, but he was still willing to use me, and he did not disqualify me, even though I allowed myself to be disqualified. I had to accept that he isn't looking for perfection, because he alone is perfect, and I needed to fully depend on him. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." I knew he had a plan, and even though I didn't see with my eyes, and it wasn't what I expected, I would never give up on him. Through a difficult process, I learned that as our children become adults, They make their own choices, and we can't do anything about that. So our responsibility is to pray for them, to love them, to speak truth to them, Amen. And to place them in God's very capable hands. Amen. It isn't easy sometimes, and sometimes our hearts can feel broken, but we are never alone, and we should never lose hope. I pray the verse in Philippians 1:6, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." During the same time period, there were many things going on in our family, and it was happening like one challenging situation after the other. It also was during this time that John and I and our families lost John's mom, and then my mom, and then my dad. And I remember one Sunday when I was feeling pretty discouraged, David Roach came up to me and said, "God just wanted me to tell you that it's going to be okay." At the time, I thought, how is it going to be okay? These situations are not okay. You have no idea what's going on. This isn't okay, you know? That was what I felt. But at the same time, those words did bring me comfort. And I clung to those words a bunch of times over the next few years, remembering, okay, God says this is going to be okay. And maybe things weren't in the way that I expected them to be okay, but ultimately I realized, you know what? Everything is going to be okay. And then I was reminded of 1 Peter 5:6-7, which tells us, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you." No matter what you go through, no matter whether you have words or no words, God knows your heart, and he knows the very depth of your being. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, one of the scriptures that I've been reading recently is 1 Corinthians 3:5-10. "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers through who you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it." And then verse 11 that Pastor Tony mentioned last week, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." God can use us at different phases in a person's life to impact their spiritual future. Sometimes God uses us to plant a seed. I believe that the seeds that John and I planted in the hearts of our children are still there. Amen. Sometimes I see evidence of those seeds in big ways, and sometimes they seem to peek out in small ways. I believe that many of you have been used to plant seeds in the hearts of your spouses, your children, your families, your friends, coworkers, people you meet along the way. Each of us have seeds planted in our lives, and we must be sure to care for those seeds as well. We cannot give to others what we have not cultivated in our own lives. At other times, God uses us to water the seeds that have been planted. The watering can come for an individual through times of personal prayer and reading of the Word. The watering of the seed can occur as we pray and encourage other people, or as they pray for and encourage us. Sometimes the watering occurs as people go through various trials when they have to trust God completely, and he uses that time to cause them to lean upon him fully. We all go through various stages and speeds of growth in our relationship with Christ. Sometimes it can appear that the seed is dormant, or that the field is barren or unfruitful, or that the spiritual walk has become stagnant. But we don't always see and understand what God is doing beneath the surface. Sometimes the growth process can be painful. Ultimately, though, it is God alone who gives the increase. God is the one who brings the growth in his time and in his way. We cannot force the spiritual growth of others, but we can be faithful and we can be willing to be used by God in the way that he directs us. God will bring forth the fruit according to his sovereign timeline. We never know what part of someone's spiritual journey God may be calling us to partner with him in planting or watering. There may be times when God puts a word on your heart or a scripture verse to share with someone or prompts you to pray for somebody or to do some kind gesture for someone. It may not seem to impact the person at the moment, but God uses it and gives increase in the life of the person. Just as that simple word given to me saying, it's going to be okay, wasn't extravagant. It didn't solve all my problems. It didn't make everything all better. But it helped me to know that God saw me, that God knew my struggles, and that he was there for me. And sometimes what may seem simple, a simple word, it's going to be okay, might make a big difference for somebody. As a mom praying for our kids, I pray that God will put people full of him and full of love to speak words of encouragement or hope over our children and grandchildren. Our son Jacob is the manager of a Chili's, and he told me about one Sunday morning when a group of people came in, and he was asking them, you know, how are you doing? How's your day going so far? And he said the one lady, she started speaking to him in a condescending way, and she said, well, we just got out of church, and we were there praying for people like you. And he said, this isn't very encouraging, loving, or hope-filled. And it certainly wouldn't make someone want to go to church or learn about Jesus or to turn their lives back to Jesus. Our words always matter. Proverbs 18:4 says, wise words are like deep waters. Wisdom flows from the wise like a bubbling brook. Also, Proverbs 18:21, which I think Rachel shared last week, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I also heard it said this way, every word spoken becomes a living thing to minister or to destroy. Are our words kind or to bring people and point people to Jesus, or do they draw them away from Jesus? Do our words, are they critical and destructive, or do they minister to someone? You might be the catalyst that the Holy Spirit uses to ignite a desire for God in a person's heart or to call them back to him. It is truly amazing and an honor that God invites us to be his fellow workers so that he can bring his increase to other people. Now, back to the story about the pearl. So this is a long time ago that I got that word, you know, about Amanda being a pearl, and a lot of stuff happened in the meantime. So on Mother's Day of this year, Eileen gave many of the ladies this card with a picture of a shell with a pearl in the middle of it. And she had glued the little pearl-looking stone to the corner of the card. And the card reads, just imagine God plants a tiny grain of sand into an oyster to create a beautiful natural pearl and places it in a vast ocean to be found like a precious treasure. This is the same God that decided to create you. Amen. And place you in the world like a precious treasure too. You are a rare and special gift. Eileen didn't know it at the time, but this card unlocked something in my heart. She probably had no idea that her kind gesture would mean so much to someone else. As I read the card, I was once again reminded of the time that God had given me that word for Amanda during that conference over 20 years ago. I thought about all of the things that she had been through since that time, all of the agitations and irritations and all of the rough times, but also his faithfulness to see her through it all and to bring his increase in turning her heart back to him. I see where she is now and how much God has blessed her and Jeremy. Amen. With 5 amazing children and so much love and hope for the future, I heard in my spirit that day that God said, what I told you then has now been fulfilled. This was so exciting, and I felt like God was saying Happy Mother's Day to me and to Amanda. When I went to prayer that Tuesday morning, I told Eileen and Rachel about the card and how much it meant to me. Rachel told me that she had had a word for Amanda many years before about being a jewel in God's heart. Wow. I felt like I was supposed to buy Amanda a pearl necklace to always remind her of what God said about her. Amen. I found one I liked and was going to order it for her. That afternoon, I began telling Amanda about the card and about what had happened. And I said, I'm proud of you, and you're a good mother to your 5 children and to Jeremy. a good wife to Jeremy, not a good mother, a good wife to Jeremy. God has been faithful to take all of those things and make something beautiful. You are a pearl to me and to God. Amanda and I were both so touched by what God was doing that she said that it was when she had her daughter Aria that she felt like she had truly embraced motherhood like she should have from the beginning. And it was since that time that she felt like she was fully committed to being the best mom that she could for all of her children. This made me even more aware of God's caring about every detail because she had never told me this before. And as it turned out, the name of the pearl necklace I had chosen for her was called Aria. So I've been so impacted by this whole process and God's timing that I believe it has been a breakthrough time in my heart and in my life. It has reminded me that God doesn't expect everything in our lives to be perfect, but he can still use us. He is with us through our messes, our struggles, our failures, our agitations, our irritations, and our imperfections. God takes what the enemy has planned to disarm us, to equip us even more for the battles that we encounter and challenges that come along. Ephesians 6:13 says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." If you have someone on your heart today, don't give up on them. Amen. Keep being obedient in the planting and watering that God wants to use you for, and keep praying for God's increase in your life and in the lives of those that you love. When we sing the song Reckless Love, I usually make it a song of intercession for those I'm believing God to continue to pursue. In the part where we sing, "There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after," and I insert the name of the person that I'm praying for, "no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after," again, the name of that person or someone else. God never gives up on us, and we shouldn't give up either. And don't allow yourself to be disqualified from walking in the destiny that God has for you. Amen. This is the time of breakthrough and to move time to move forward. Keep praying into and believing for the fulfillment of those words for Church on the Rock and for you.
Awesome. Wasn't that awesome? Are your hearts like, my heart is like buzzing. This is what I want to do. Let's have the band come up real quick. Just take a few minutes. And I have a family member who had some prophetic words, a dear family member, and none of them came about. And so we, you know, Tony was teaching out that sometimes they're invitations, sometimes like Laura's dream, they just begin to happen and you have to partner with it. But I don't dream either. I dream very rarely. But in my life, things just happen. Or someone will say something to me and I'll know, oh, that's what I have to do. Or God will speak to me and I just go on the journey and doors and windows and things begin to open. So it's a matter for me of just walking on the journey. So all of us are different. But if you look back, you will see in your life, if you take time, you will see where God has encountered you. That's why I say write down your own prophetic journey. Take some time, like throughout the rest of the year, write down your own story, write down the things, and pray over the ones you might have forgotten them, or ask God to bring things to mind. You might have forgotten some of the things that you're walking in now that God started 10, 15 years ago. So we don't want to despise prophecy. We don't want to despise prophetic utterance. We don't want to despise God's engagement in our lives and God speaking to us. But we also want to partner with him for those things to come about. Amen. So I just want to have us stand and sing.
When you walk.
Well, yeah, there you go. That's the song. Wait, I'll meet. One second. We're going to sing When You Walk Into the Room, and this is a great song. Because I want you guys to just go, God, okay, I'm here. That whatever you have for me, I want to remember it. And I'm going to start engaging you to encounter my life, to encounter me and the things that you've spoken to me. And when I started writing, I said this. If you haven't called me to write, then show me what you want me to do, because I do not want to waste my time pursuing this thing that at that time in my life consumed every part of me. If I went to prayer, I started dreaming of characters. You know, I was thinking about it all the time. And I said, I don't want to stand before you and account for all this wasted time if you have something else for me to do. So whatever that is, if you feel like, man, I've been waiting for that thing for 20 years, well, maybe God's saying now's the time. Maybe God's saying, you know, I never had that for you, but look at this that I'm doing already over here that you haven't acknowledged yet. Amen? We're walking in his calling and we don't even know it half the time.